Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed, and our guest this week, David Newlin. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
I had one question when you were talking about traveling and geography, and I just want to briefly get back to that before we move on. But was it a conscious decision to combine the traveling and the music, or did it happen organically while you were, did it just come to you?
No, it pretty much happened organically. I mean, I had always written songs inspired by the different places I went in Canada. But when I was traveling with Adventure Canada, I was compelled to make work that reflected those experiences. I didn't write a song for about 3 years. The first three, summers that I spent going back and forth to the Arctic, I almost felt like I couldn't say anything. There wasn't anything I had to add. And I was just doing a lot of processing. But eventually, I did start writing songs about those experiences, and then an entire body of work emerged within a very short time. I mean, I'll say within 6 weeks, I had written most of an album, actually more than an album.
So the one fed the other in a way, in a very big way.
Absolutely, yeah.
So lately, you've been working, or not lately, but for a while, you've been working with a band called Uncharted Waters. Can you tell me a bit about them, who they are and how they got together and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that name is sort of a little musical joke because we never have any charts. I come with a song and I play it for the band and they hear their parts, and we very rarely write anything down. And they're all just really good musicians who honor my ideas with their craft. Stefan Hannigan plays whistles and pipes, and he's based in Baltimore, just north of Coburg. His wife and musical partner, Saskia Tompkins, plays cello and fiddle and viola and all nickel harpa, all the stringed things. And their son, Oshin, plays various kinds of percussion, a very strong global influence. So he could be playing a daff, or he could be playing a boron, or he could be playing a cajon, or any other sort of percussion instrument that has a particular flavor. And our bass player, upright bass and backing vocals, is Sam Allison, who a lot of people know as Lotus White from the trio Shishim and Lotus and Son. So it's a power-packed group, and they hear sounds that speak to the spaces that I'm endeavoring to create in my songs, and we've been able to capture that in our live show, and they're very fluid about going with that, and they've helped to articulate a sonic vision for where my songs go.
It's a real win to have that all working for you. And it takes a lot of the work out of having to produce the music when it happens like that. So synergistically, I guess.
Yeah, and it's really true to the folk tradition, right? I mean, a big part of what we do is to feed on organic energy, the connections between people and places, people and one another. And so rather than put everything down on a strict format and say, this is how I want it done, and then have them play it as though we were in a big studio in New York or something, it's much more interesting to bring the song, feel it together, and see where it lands. And by and large, the vision is pretty much there when I bring it, but they elaborate it, and it's a beautiful thing.
That's great. That's wonderful. So I'm thinking, just to change track slightly, you've said that, actually, I think I heard you say that in traveling to the Arctic, you discovered a different Canadian North from the one you learned about mm-hmm. as a child, yeah. And a different one from the one that most people in the South expect. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, most people in the South think that the North starts in about Bob Cajun. You know, the 45th parallel runs through Bracebridge, okay?
That's right, yep.
So that means that everyone south of Bracebridge is living closer to the equator than the North Pole. So by what right are we calling ourselves Northerners? And that's the question that really began to puzzle me. I mean, I grew up in Parry Sound, which is just a little bit north of the 45th parallel, and we were considered Northern Ontario, and I took that as a great point of pride, notwithstanding the fact that that's not only is it not very far north, it's below the Canadian border of the 49th parallel, in the western provinces. So we have these bizarre geographical anomalies in our way of thinking about ourselves. And when you get to a place that is actually north and realize how much of your identity has been wrapped up in the mythology of that place and how distinct that place is from the mythology that's been made up about it, then you feel like, well, I might have some work to do here because we're operating on false premises. And paradoxically, I also feel that our drive toward the North, or our feeling for the North, can be a genuine and true thing. And so if we can enter into that with an open heart, it can actually lead us to a real relationship with the North, which would be via the people of the North. And that's my goal, I think. Countries, especially new countries, nations, establish their mythologies, and we established ours on the premise that we were Northern. But what does that actually mean? Uh-huh. If we're going to operate that way, what does it mean?
And the majority of us, of course, who live in what is really the tip of an inverted iceberg, the geography is all north of us. You're going to have a workshop. You're going to be putting on a workshop at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts on October the 26th at St. Peter's Anglican Church here in Cobourg. And it's going to be an introduction to songwriting, is that correct? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, what I hope is that this is a workshop that could be appealing for songwriters, but also for people who don't intend to write songs, but are interested in the craft of songwriting. I think that the endeavor of writing songs is something that's very mysterious to most people. It's mysterious to me, and I've been doing it for 30 years. And one of the things that I would like to tease out is the idea that a song has a heart or a spirit, and that if it doesn't have that, whatever you do in terms of craft, there's only so far that can go. You could have very rudimentary, basic musical skills, but if you are expressing something that is in your heart or something that has a greater sense of purpose, that will lend quality to your work that wouldn't otherwise be there. You know, and I hope it will be interactive. I'm interested in what people think makes a great song. And I'm going to make some suggestions of my own from my own practice of what has, I think, improved and deepened my work. You know, you can use formulas to make things popular. There's no question. There's a certain formula that is brought to bear on a lot of, let's say, new country songs or pop radio hits, and that's fine. But if you want songs that will last, I contend that they have to have qualities of the heart that keep people playing them and wanting to keep them alive, right?
David, you recently had an article in Watershed magazine. Can you tell us about that?
I've written a few articles for Watershed over the past few years, and I've been writing regularly for The Link as well. I really like these Watershed articles because I've been offered the opportunity to go a little deeper on some subjects that are of interest to me. The first one was about the former airbase in Picton. The second one was about Colin Sanders, who rode solo across the Atlantic, a guy from Port Hope. And this third one, I think, is really special. It's about the HMCS Skeena, which was a Canadian destroyer wrecked off Iceland late in 1944, after which our local Sea Cadet Squadron was named. And there are people there at the squadron who are working to kind of keep the spirit of that ship and that story alive. And I actually think in many ways this is a story about stories and what keeps them alive and thriving in our minds. So this is the last paragraph of this article, and we've described the fact that the members of the Sea Cadet Squadron locally are going to make their way to Iceland on the 75th anniversary of the grounding of the Skeena at Vidé Island, where 15 men died. Skeena's remembrancers will be surrounded by the graves of dozens of Canadians, among hundreds of service personnel and merchant mariners from around the world. These are but a few of the casualties of the Battle of the Atlantic, who died at the remote edge of a global war. On that hallowed ground, Chris Barker, Lieutenant Navy, a Cobourg boy who once dreamed of going to sea, prime caregiver of the spirit of Skeena, will hear again the stirring words that motivate him to this day. You cannot imagine the size of the hole in the ground for so many men. Lest we forget.
Many thanks, David Newland, for coming in today and telling us about the workshop on songwriting you're giving at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts, October 24th to 26th at St. Peter's Church, 240 College Street, here in Cobourg. And thanks for discussing the panel on sharing across the arts that you're going to be speaking at, a free event which takes place from 12:15 to 1:45 on the Saturday, October 26th. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you both for having me.
To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.